Good morning. I want to greet you all in Jesus' name this morning. It's been a privilege to be here already and to worship God with you all, take a break from the busyness of life and the things that are pressing on us, and to collectively worship God together this morning. I enjoyed the Christmas carols. Thank you for that, Kirvin. I can sing those Christmas carols and I can worship when it's cold outside, but there's something about being inside of a building when a holy night just sounds a little better in here, I think, than it does on someone's porch with a dim light, if you follow what I'm saying. Before we go into the message this morning, let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer. Lord, we again want to give this time to you here this morning. I want to invite your presence here with us, and we just pray that your spirit would work among us, and I pray that your word would come alive to us, and that we could receive a message from you this morning. Lord, I pray that you would receive all of the honor and the glory from what's shared here this morning. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. My mind went a number of different directions as I thought about a message for this morning. And for a title, I've chosen Keeping Our Focus. This is a busy time of year. I don't need to remind you of that, with Christmas caroling and travel and all of the things that we have going on, year-end wrap-up, and if you go into town, you can just see that town's alive and buzzing. People are everywhere buying things, spending hard-earned money on Christmas gifts, and there's lots of lights and lots of things that are there to distract us. And this morning, I just want us to bring our focus back and focus on Christ and what he's done for us and what he's calling us to. We can be so easily distracted, can't we? There's so many things calling for our attention, calling for our time, and it takes away from the true message of the Christmas story and what Christ gave to come here and die for us. This morning we want to refocus. If you've ever used a pair of binoculars and you look through the binoculars and it's blurry, and you grab that wheel and adjust it a little bit, and it brings things into focus. That's what I want to do here this morning, is look into God's word and focus on what he has for us. This is a trap of Satan that he has laid for us. He's not happy when the world stops and thinks about the Savior coming to this world, the one that would defeat him and have victory over death. He don't want us to think about that, so he distracts us in any way he can. And I mentioned some of those things already. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4, but it says, the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. The world is full of blinded people. And Jesus is calling out a people. He is shining that light and saying, come. Come follow me. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Read some familiar verses from there for some opening verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Start reading in verse 14 and like to read through verse 18. Second Corinthians 6, verse 14 says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them, and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. So here we have God telling us that he wants to dwell with his people. He wants to have a relationship with them. He wants to be in communication with them. But something needs to change in order for God to dwell with men. God is not going to dwell with evil men. He wants us to separate ourselves from the evil that is in this world, and then He will come and dwell with us and be with us and be a father to us, and we can be his sons and daughters. What a privilege that is for us this morning, that we can be the sons and daughters of God. God is calling a group out of the mainstream, out of the normal flow of humanity. God is calling a people away from the evil that is all around us, and we don't have to look very far to see that. He asks some questions here. He says, what relationship is there between these opposites? He says, light and darkness, righteousness and unrighteousness. He said there's no connection between those two. So I want you to separate yourself from the evil that is around us. And these people, they're not just supposed to be separate or pull themselves away, but they're to be separated for a purpose. And that purpose is so that God can dwell with them and be with them and be a father. So they're not just separated over here to be different, but they're separated for a purpose. There's a reason that they're separated and over here to the side. These people are separate to do God's work and to serve his kingdom and to bring glory to him and not ourselves. God says that there's another world that I want you to be part of. That is one where I rule and I dwell. I want you to come over here and be separate. I thought about using the title Two Worlds this morning. That's what we want to think about, the world, the kingdom of this world, and the kingdom of righteousness. We know that all things were created by God. Revelation 4, verse 11 says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." God created us with the five senses that we use every day to perceive this world around us. Those distractions that we have, we perceive those through the senses that God gave us. And God gave us those senses to enjoy the world that he created around us. He created us to experience these things and to bring glory back to him and to honor him with our experience. But our natural tendency after the fall is to perceive these things with our senses, and then we want to worship those things instead of worshiping God who created these things. So this morning we want to refocus on these two worlds that we are called to live in but not be a part of, the one especially. We can struggle to wrap our minds around this concept of how we're supposed to live here in this world, but yet not become a part of it. It's so easy for us to get wrapped up in this world because we live here. We need to function here. We need to work here. We need to provide for our families. We need to, it's a physical world that we live in, but we need to always be mindful that we are also part of another world. And that one is the one that is calling us out, like it says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. God is calling us out of the world that we live in to be a separated people. Jesus lived here on this earth, so he knew how difficult it would be for us to live here but not become entangled in this world. He was tempted with all the things that you and I are tempted with. And sometimes it's hard for us to believe that, but that's what God's word said. He was tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. And let's just turn to Christ's prayer for us in John chapter 17, I believe it is. Yes, John 17. And I want to read verse 9 through verse 20. As we read these verses, let's keep in mind that Christ was tempted just like you and I are. Verse 9, John chapter 17, verse 9. Christ is praying for his disciples and really all believers, including you and I. Verse 9 says, "I pray for them. I pray not for the world, for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them. Remember, sanctify means set apart. We could say, set apart them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. So keep in mind, Jesus is praying this for us and for all believers. And he was tempted just like you and I are to become distracted with the things around him. I imagine that it was a temptation for Christ that as he worked there in his father's shop, being the firstborn son, it would have been tradition for him to take on that business as he grew older. And as men, we can recognize that in our minds, where the temptation to invest into our work and the things that are physical. And ladies, there's things that you're, I'm sure, distracted with that want to pull our attention away. Jesus was tempted with those things just like we are. He was human. Yet, he kept a clear focus on what his work was here on this earth. He told the Father in his prayer here, I have finished the work. I am doing the work that you gave me to do. And we know that when he was crucified, he said, it is finished. I have completed the work that you gave me to do. And you can glorify. You can be glorified through me, through the work that I am doing. I like to look at just six very basic points in keeping our focus. It's not easy, but there's some very familiar verses that just remind us of what we can do to keep our focus, especially in this holiday season when there's lots of distraction around us. Let's turn to 1 John 2 for those very familiar verses. 1 John chapter 2, we'll read 15 through 17. First John 2, let's read verse 15 through 17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Very familiar verses here, but just a couple keys to keeping our focus, keeping ourselves from being distracted. First one here is love not the world. The world runs perpendicular to God. We saw back in 2 Corinthians when God is calling his people out to be separate unto him, he says there's no connection between righteousness and unrighteousness. There's no connection between darkness and light. There's no connection between the God of this world and the God that we serve. There's no connection. They run perpendicular to each other. And John goes on to list some things here that can distract us, that can trip us up. The lust of the flesh. I think we all know something about this, the lust of the flesh, that pull to feed what feels good to our senses, those five senses that I mentioned. The world says, give yourself whatever you want. It's the holiday season. Just relax and let go. Don't let anything stop you. It's your life. Live it up. Enjoy it. Our family was just in Florida for a couple days here two weeks ago, and I was just taken aback by all of the things there are to do in this world. There's so much entertainment out there that if you just want to spend the money, and if you want to have a good time, it's available. You can do it. The list of places to go is substantial. The lust of the flesh, doing what feels good to me. The lust of the eyes. Lust means longing for something that is forbidden. Our eyes can take in lots of things, and we can feed our flesh. But to keep our focus, it says we need to focus on the Father. Focus on the God that we serve, not on the God of this world. Our eyes want to feed our flesh. The pride of life, lifting ourselves up, the glory that should be given to God in this time of year, the glory that should be given to our Savior is lost on things and myself and what I want. The pride of life, lifting myself up. And John lays it out pretty clear here for us. It's not of the Father, it's of the world. We'd like to think that there's a few more boxes, wouldn't we? We want to argue with John and say, well, maybe there's some gray areas that we can maybe put some of these things into. But John says, no. It's either of the Father or it's of the world. There's no in between here. So to keep our focus, we need to love not the world. I'd like to pull the second point from these verses as well, in keeping our focus, and that is to love the Father. When we love someone or something, it has a way of narrowing our vision, catching our focus, and pulling it in if we love something. When we love someone, their desires become our desires. We want what they want. Their pursuits become our pursuits. I remember being young and one of my dad's friends started dating, and he was a high energy guy, and he started dating a girl that was very calm, and she enjoyed playing Scrabble, and they would often date at our house. And I remember him sitting there for hours playing Scrabble with his girlfriend. And that's what love does, doesn't it? It takes our desires and we are pulled towards the one that we love. Are my desires God's desires? I had to ask myself that question. There's no amount of restrictions that we can place on ourselves, no amount of church standards or anything that will kill the love for the world in our lives. Only the love of the Father will do that. Doesn't mean we shouldn't have some guidelines to help us, but love for the Father is the only thing that will pull our focus away from this world and focus on God. Number three, love what the Father loves. We could probably quote John 3:16 by memory, but I'm just going to turn there. I don't trust myself. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God loved this world so much that he was willing to send his only Son to die for you and I. Send him to earth as a baby and to endure tremendous suffering so that I can have a relationship with him. We're talking about two different worlds here. What did God love so much? He loved the souls. He loved the souls that were on this world. And to help us keep our focus, we need to love what the Father loves. We need to have a love for souls. And that helps to narrow our focus, to bring us back to what we need to be focusing on. when we have a love for souls like God does, like our Father does. Remember back from 2 Corinthians, it says, come out and be separate, and I will be a father to you. Let's love what our Father loves. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4 for our fourth point. Ephesians chapter 4. I'm sorry, Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, let's read 1 through 6. This is to help us focus. We need to have a new life or be reborn. Very obvious statement, but it's something we can forget sometimes. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That's who we were. We were following after the god of this world. We were distracted. We were filling up our desires. We were lusting after the things that we shouldn't. Verse 4 says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, even when we were doing these things that is disgraceful to him and blasphemous to him, even when we were doing those things, verse 5, he hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Let's read verse 7 yet. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. What a gift that we have been given, that we were going the opposite direction of God. He has called us to himself, and we were going the opposite direction. We were serving ourselves, and God sent his Son to redeem us and to bring us back through his mercy. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Don't be conformed to this world, in my own words, but be transformed. Conformed means to fit into the image of something else, to take on that shape. And Paul says, don't do that. Be transformed. Talking about a new life, a new focus on following after God. We think about a transformer, and it takes something that's unuseful and makes it useful. So we are to be transformers. We are to be transformed, changed. That's what Paul is teaching us there in Romans 12, those verses we probably know by heart. Let's turn over to Colossians. Read a couple verses from there. Thinking about our new focus and focusing on God and rejecting the God of this world. Colossians chapter 3, let's read verse 5 and verse 10. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Let's read verse 10. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So if we want to have a new focus and have a focus that's towards God, then we need to put off those things that we used to do and to put on the new man, which is Christ. It's not a simple thing to do, is to mortify ourselves, like it says here in verse 5. We naturally want to feed those things, don't we? John said, all those things that are in the world, the lust of the eye, the pride of life, those are things that we want to feed. But we're supposed to mortify those things that are on the earth and pursue the God of heaven. Number 5, to keep our focus We need to have a new value system. Let's turn back to Luke chapter 16. We talked about this a little bit already, but Luke chapter 16, let's read verse 13 through 15. Luke chapter 16, 13 through 15. No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things, and they derided him. And he said unto them, Ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. Here Jesus was resetting the value system. He says, what men value highly, that is abomination to me. That house that everyone knows about, that's down there on the street, that we sure would like to have. That truck that turns everyone's heads when it goes by. And the list can go on and on. Those things that men esteem. God is saying, no, that's an abomination to me. Because it is taking glory that is supposed to come to me and is being put on a mortal object. So we need to have a new value system. What the world places a high priority on should be of little importance to us because we are pursuing something different. We're not pursuing the gods of this world. We're pursuing God who created us. We can lose focus of that sometimes. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. Read a couple verses from there. 1 Peter chapter 4. Verse 3 and 4. 1 Peter 4. 3 and 4. For the time past, our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and in abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that you don't run not. Let me start with verse 4. Wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Do we have a different value system than the world has? Do they think that our pursuits are kind of strange? Do they think it's odd that we leave work early to be a blessing to someone else? Or we're willing to take our profits and bless someone else? I have to ask myself, am I strange enough sometimes? Or is what I'm doing making perfectly good sense to the people of this world? Does my values align with theirs? Are we pursuing the things of God? Do we have the value system that God has? And number 6, to keep our focus, we need to focus on the eternal. We already read 1 John 2, verse 17, but I'll read it again. It says, and the world passeth away, and their lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. The things that are a distraction to us, that are all around us, that we crave so much, if we can just keep in mind that they're all going to burn up anyway. It doesn't matter if you have the newest car in the parking lot, or if you have the nicest house on the street, or how you combed your hair, or what dress you wore, or whatever. It's all going to be gone someday. And it helps us to focus if we can think of things through an eternal lens. They're all temporal. We can forget that so quickly. We get so caught up and distracted with the things around us, and we forget that they're all going to pass away. We all like things that are going to last, don't we? When we go to buy something, we want to buy the best because we want it to last. Well, The only thing that's going to last is the eternal things. So let's look to those things. Let's turn back to Colossians chapter 3. We're already there. Let's read a couple other verses from Colossians chapter 3. I'd like to read verse 1 and 2 from that chapter. Again, very familiar verses. Most of us can quote them, but if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. Seek things of eternal value. There's only one thing that has eternal value, and that is the souls around us and obviously the kingdom of God. Let's pursue that. Let's focus on that amidst all of the distractions that we have. Christ in his prayer says, don't take the people out of the world. There's work for them to do. Just keep them from the world. Christ prayed that for us. James says in chapter 1, verse 27, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. We're in a season of many distractions. Let's keep our focus on Christ and his kingdom. Let's build that. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 18 says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are only temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Let's not lose sight of which world we are pursuing after, which world we want to be a part of. We want to be a part of that group that God is calling out and saying, follow me, and I will be a father to you, and you can be my sons and daughters. Satan, the god of this world, he wants to distract us. He wants us to take our focus off of following God and building his kingdom. But let's not let his tactics distract us, especially this time of year. As we think about Christ coming to this earth and dying for us, let's worship Christ for what he has done for us. Let's pray. Father God, we again come before you this morning, praising you and thanking you for all you've done for us. Lord, we just pray that this morning, that as we worship you, I pray that our worship would be acceptable to you, to receive it. Lord, I just pray that you would bless each of us wherever we're at.